Tonight I'd like to read from Genesis, the 22nd chapter and the 9th verse. I'm going to be talking about Abraham's story, but instead of reading the whole story, I believe everybody here tonight knows the story of Abraham and how that God called him and asked him to sacrifice Isaac, his son, and he packed his bags. He didn't tell his wife what he was going to do because he knew that she'd kill him before he killed Isaac, and he snuck away early in the morning. He found a place where God wanted him to go. Now, the place that God wanted him to go, you can't find a theologian that would argue with you the place that he went is Mount Moriah. The place where God led him to is Mount Moriah. It's where God led Abraham to. Moses, he took to Sinai. But he took Abraham to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. And so tonight we're going to talk about Mount Moriah. We're going to talk about some interesting facts about it. I don't know how far I'm going to get because I'm going to preach some about it on Sunday also if the Lord keeps leading me in the way that he's leading me. But it says in Genesis, the 22nd chapter in the 9th verse, it said, "And they came to the place which had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there." Everybody say, build an altar. "He built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of the heavens and said, 'Abraham, Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.'" Now, I want you to notice that God didn't speak to Abraham until Abraham was in position to hear. Amen? We've got to understand that sometimes the reason we don't hear is because we haven't placed ourselves in a position where God can truly speak what he wants to speak into our lives. And so when he had placed himself in position, when he had built an altar, when he had placed the sacrifice, and then God could speak to him as the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and Abraham said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest the Lord, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind them there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is called to this day, "The Mount of the Lord, it shall be seen." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven a second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord." But he says, "For because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in the multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sands of which upon the seashore. And thy seed shall pass," he says, "and thy seed shall pass that the gate of thine enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice." He said, "Because of your obedience, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place, that you would speak to us this night. Lord, that your will and your way would be done, that you would take us to that secret place, oh God. Lord, that you would speak into our hearts and into our minds and into our spirits this night, that we could leave this place different than once we came. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. I was reading an article this afternoon about a man that pastors a church in Richmond, Texas. And he was talking and stating about the fact that he has come to a place in his church that there is no need for altars or an altar call anymore. that the Lord should lead them, that the Lord should touch them, and that the altar call is nothing more than a way of peer pressure to get people to come to the front. It's an uncomfortable situation for a visitor. It's a place that people should not be placed, that there's no place in the modern church for an altar call anymore, that you can't find a place in the Bible where the word altar call is used. You can't find a definitive altar call in the Bible where they stood up and made an altar call for people to come down to a bench that was made that they could come and pray on. That it's just an outdated thing, and it's something that doesn't need to be in our churches anymore. This is something that is becoming more prevalent, that it is something that it is a place of discomfort. It's a place that causes a little bit of, it's not a comfortable place. And so if it causes us to be uncomfortable at all, then it should be something that is removed to make things as easy as possible. But the truth of the matter is when you begin to look throughout the Bible, that there is something about coming to a place, that there is a place that we come together in one mind and one accord. There's something about coming to a place where we come to the same conclusion and we come to the same place and we make up our minds that something's got to happen. Last Wednesday night, we were talking about hospitality. We were talking about the importance of creating an atmosphere where people can come in and find Christ. The importance of creating an atmosphere when people walk in those back doors that they feel love, peace, and joy. They feel a family atmosphere. They feel an atmosphere where things can happen and lives can be changed. They feel an atmosphere that God can reach into their lives and He can touch them. That the hospitality is important, that it doesn't create change, but it creates a space so that change can be made possible, that it creates an avenue that when people come in, that what we do doesn't create change, but it gives them an opportunity, a place of peace, a place of knowing that this is safe, a place of knowing that this is a place that we can come, that we can find Christ in this place, that what we need is in the house, what we need can possibly be found in this place. We talked about the importance of when they drive on the parking lot, the importance of when they walk through the doors, how people greet them, the importance of how they're treated when they walk into the sanctuary, the importance of how they're treated when they walk out of the sanctuary, the importance of the things that happen throughout the weeks after they've been, after they've encountered our church. But just as important as it is that we meet them, just as important as it is that we create an atmosphere of worship, that they can come into the house of God and feel His presence in worship. We've got to understand that it is just as important that we create an atmosphere in an altar call. We've got to understand that just as important as the worship is to them, we've got to make the altar call just as important. Amen. We've got to understand that the presence of God has to, well, why is it such a big deal? Well, why would it even matter? You know, if the sermon's to them, they'll come, they can get it and whatnot. See, when they were in the upper room, the scripture says they were in one mind and one accord, and something powerful happened. It doesn't matter what's really been preached. If you're attentive and you're searching and you have an open heart, God's going to speak to you no matter what. God wants to move in your life, if you've come hungry, God's going to speak. I've preached entire sermons on one subject, and somebody come up to me after church and said, man, that was the best sermon on forgiveness I've ever heard. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't even remember saying the word forgiveness, but God can take it and make it all things to all people. And if we'll come to an altar with expectation, if we'll come to an altar and say, you know what, this service might not have been completely for me, Brother Pugh, you might not have moved me the way that I wanted to be moved, but I am excited about creating an atmosphere where something can happen. I am excited about coming down to the altar and helping create an atmosphere that if there's somebody in this place that is a drug addict, that in this altar call they can be delivered. If there's somebody in this place that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that in this altar call that somebody can be filled full of the baptism baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. If they come down with a need and they begin to look around and we're all just standing around looking around, this must be what we do at altar calls. But if they come down and they see people with their hands raised, they see things moving, they see the Spirit of God moving, they see people touching God, people that are hungry for God, well, maybe this is what we're supposed to do. It's easier to step into the presence of God when you've got people around you that are also stepping into the presence of an almighty, awesome God. I can't imagine what the day of Pentecost was when they begin to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was an altar call. I can't imagine what happened when Peter got up and began to preach the truth to them for the first time, and they begin to flood up against that building, and they begin to ask, what is it that we need? What is it that we've got to have? How is this going to happen? How is this going to happen in my life? As he began to explain to them, as Peter preached in Cornelius's house, and one began to receive the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, there was a positive, there was something that was stirring. There was a hunger inside of that place that created an altar call, that created something where change could happen, created something during the ministry, that there was something, that one mind and one accord, that something powerful could change in the midst of what was going on at that moment in time. They might not have ever used the word altar call in the Bible, but I can guarantee you that there were altar calls. I can guarantee you there were places where people pressed to the front and wanted to get close, where they wanted something from God. What do you think was going on when they begin to climb out of their seats and come from everywhere and gather at the feet of Jesus? I need change. I need to be healed. I need my daughter to be delivered. There was something inside of them that was hungry for something else. Abraham was called to first build an altar. You see, some of us, we struggle so much with sacrifice because we have not yet built our altar. We cannot sacrifice until first there has been an altar built. We wonder why I have trouble with wanting to do this or being involved with that, or why do I have trouble in this? Why do I have trouble being a part of this? How come when then, I know that I should be being involved with this? God's been dealing with me about it, but why do I have so much trouble? Why is there so much torment inside? Why is there so much agony in what I'm supposed to be doing? What is my problem? We have not yet first built the altar to make the sacrifice on. We can't make sacrifices until we begin to create a pure altar in our life. You've got to understand that there has to be an altar in our lives. We've got to understand that there has to be a place that we come. I don't care if it's up here. I don't care if it's in your home. I don't care if it's in your car. I know some men drive great distances to get to work, and that steering wheel becomes an altar on their drive. But somewhere along the way, if there's ever going to be sacrifice, if we're ever going to get the answers that we need, if we're ever going to be led to the places that we're going to go, first there has to be built an altar in our lives. Why do I struggle so? How's your altar? Why am I not getting the answers that I need? How's your altar? Why am I not getting all the stuff that I desire? Why am I not being used of God the way that I've been prophesied over? How is your altar? When was the last time that you went and worked on your altar? When was the last time there was something inside that said, I'm going to build this until God moves in me. I'm going to build this until something changes. I'm going to work on this altar until tears run down my face. I'm going to work on this altar until there's a brokenness inside of me like I haven't had in a long time. It was at an altar that Abraham got provision. It was at an altar that Abraham got vision. It was at an altar that Abraham got revelation that day, but it wasn't until he first went to the altar. It wasn't until he first went and he began to build that altar. What is it going to cost me? What might I give? We always talk about the sacrifice, but the sacrifice cannot be made until first the altar is built. I need a word from God. How's your altar? I need God to speak in my life. How's your altar? I need provisions in my life. How's your altar? I need to know that my future is in his hands. How's your altar? I need God to speak to me. I need God to help me. How is your altar? You see, you've got to understand that when we build an altar, there's something about God that is drawn to an altar. There's something about God that there's something about God that when we build an altar, he shows up. We've got to understand that when we begin to do our part and we begin to take the time to say, God, I want to build this altar. I want to get close to you. I want to know you, God. You can rest assured that he will get close to you. He will come to a place that you can know him. You can find him. He will speak to you. He will allow you to understand that everything's going to be all right. He will give you peace in the midst of your storm. But quit just showing up and thinking it's just going to happen because you showed up. You've got to put something in that says, God, I've got to build something. I've got to cultivate something. I've got to create something where something can happen in my life. He got provision with the sheep, with the ram. I need provision. Build an altar. I need God to do something supernatural in my life. I need to be healed. When was the last time that you took it to an altar? Oh, well, I asked so-and-so to take it to the altar. When was the last time that you built an altar with it? When was the last time that you got serious about it? If it's not serious to you, why should it be serious to God? If it's not serious enough to you to build an altar, then why should it be serious enough for God to want to do anything about it? We've got to be a church that says, God, whatever it takes, God, we will first build the altar. I'm having trouble with my sacrifice. Why? Because I haven't taken the time to invest, to know you, to find you, to understand that this sacrifice that you're asking for is worth giving it to you. We've got to build an altar. You can go through all throughout the Bible of great men that built altars. I could spend the next 30 minutes just talking about altars, talking about men that built altars, men that had supernatural moves of God on altars. And not only did he find provision, not only did he find vision as God spoke to him and told him about his future, he also got revelation as he began for the first time. He called God Jehovah Jireh because there was a revelation that took place that day because it happened at an altar. It happened at a place that he was willing to build, not knowing exactly what his future was going to be. See, a lot of us will build if we know what our future is going to be. We'll build if he's already given us an answer. We say we'll build if he'll give us an answer. But the truth of the matter is we've got to begin to build first. We've got to begin to work on that altar first. When was the last time that we... See, you've got to understand the importance of an altar. You've got to understand the importance of how important the altar is to God. I'm not going to preach real long tonight. Y'all are like, I don't believe that. David numbered the children of Israel. You see, the only time that people were called to number anything in the Bible is they were to number. The only time that it was okay to number was when they numbered what they owned. If they owned it, then it was okay to number it. They could number their sheep. They could number their children. They could number how much money they had. They could number their homes because it was theirs. But when David decided to number the children of Israel, what he was saying was, "Is this is mine. This is what I've done. This is what I've built. This is what I can do. This is what I've got." And it angered the Lord. And God began to, he realized as soon as he did it, he realized he messed up. As soon as he did it, he realized he had made a mistake, and he began to ask God for forgiveness, and he began to ask God that God would forgive him for the things that he did. And so I'm not going to go into too much detail about it because I'm feeling like I'm going to use some of it on Sunday. But we find that David finds himself trying to get a hold of God. He's trying to speak to God, and God asks him what it is that he desires, and he turns it over into God's hands, and God sends 3 days of pestilence upon them, and 70,000 men died in the midst of that pestilence, in the midst of that plague that came through and swept over them. 70,000 men died. And David's looking out there. He's looking out across the valley. You can read in 1 Corinthians in the 21st chapter as he's watching as this cloud, this death angel is coming for Jerusalem. This death angel is making its way towards them. This death angel has made up its mind that he's got a mandate from God to sweep across the land and to destroy everything that comes in its path. And it's the death angel as it moves and as he's making his way, and the scripture said his sword is drawn. He comes to this place. The scripture says that it was the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter and the 14th verse, it says, so the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And it says, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil. And he said unto the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood there at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. Why was this a special place? A threshing floor was a place that was, they tried to make it one of the highest points on a mountain. They tried to make it in a place as the highest point around a city, because when they would thresh the wheat, they would have to try to separate the wheat. They would have to make sure that they separated everything that needed to be separated. And they would throw it into the air, and the wind would come through, and it would blow off the shaft, and they would keep the grain. And so here they are, and they've come to this threshing floor. They've come to this place. And when he gets there, there's something about this place that God says, stop. There's something about this place that God says, I need you to stand still. And the angel that has his sword that he's out destroying, when he gets to this place, God tells him to stay where he is. To know the true meaning of this place, we find in 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He stopped at an ancient altar. It was a threshing floor now, but there had been at one time a place where a man had built an altar. He had no idea what was going on as he built that altar, but that place was a place of importance from that day forward, because not only was his altar built there, but David built an altar there that stayed the plague. That angel stood there over that fleshing floor over on Mount Moriah as he stood there, and that was the same place that we find that Abraham offered Isaac his son on the top of Mount Moriah. We find that it's also the exact same place that Solomon built the temple, that they built the temple. And if you study it out, most theologians believe that it's possibly and most likely the exact same mountain that Jesus was crucified on by the Romans. Now, I can't prove that part of it, but I can prove that it was the same place that Abraham sacrificed. And I can prove that it was the same place that the death angel stood, and he stopped over Mount Moriah, and he stood there and he waited. And God gave David an opportunity to show up and to begin to build an altar. It was at that place that death stayed. It was at that place that everything that was wrong in his life at that moment in time had to stand still, because God gave him an opportunity to build an altar one more time. We've got to understand the importance of building altars in our lives. I can't just hope and wait and see, but there's something powerful about saying, God, I'm going to get down. I'm going to know you. I'm going to find a place that I can get a hold of you. I'm going to make a secret place in my life that your spirit can move and flow in me and through me. I'm going to find a place that you can speak provision into my life. I'm going to find a place that you can give me vision. I'm going to find a place that you can speak into my life and let me know that I am your own. I'm going to find a place that I can find revelation in you, and you can speak into my life, and I can find you in new, fresh ways that I've never known you before. And it's going to happen at an altar. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen just because we showed up at church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. It's not going to happen just because we decided that possibly this is going to be a good thing to do for now. It's going to be because we decided to build altars in our lives. Death angel's moving and God says, I need you to stop. Why? Because you've just walked up on an altar, and it means something to me. He could have picked any other mountain on that range. He could have gone anywhere else and had that angel stand. But that day when he asked that angel to stop, he asked him to stop standing on the top of the same very mountain that an old friend built an altar many, many years ago. And now he's going to allow a family member way down the line the opportunity to come and to build an altar where he once had built an altar before. And when Solomon, his son, got ready to build the temple, where did the scripture say he went to build it? Second and third in Chronicles, Second Chronicles, the third chapter, the first verse, we read it. It said that he went back to the place that his dad built an altar on top of that mountain. And that's where he built the temple. See, we've got to understand how important the altars that we build in our lives are, because we have no idea who's going to come behind us and have no clue that they were even supposed to be in that place. But God led them back to a place where somebody had built an altar all those years ago. We read about how that Jacob laid his head in the same place that his grandfather built an altar all those years ago, and the angels ascended from heaven. There wasn't an accident when that happened. It was because there was somebody that was hungry enough that even when he messed up, he would pick himself back up. And the scripture said he would build an altar. He went to Egypt and messed up, and then he built an altar. He went and he told that his wife was his sister, and when he got out of it and God saved him, he went back and he built an altar. Why? Because we've got to have an altar in our lives. We've got to have an altar in our church. We've got to understand that this has to be one of the most important places in this church. It has to be something that we cultivate. It has to be something that when people come into this place, that something powerful happens in this place. That something moves, that something flows, that something happens because there's people that have. I remember that I worked at a church, and this was an old church, and it had powerful ministry in that church. And people would get up and preach, and I would sit there and think to myself that there were young young men in the youth group that could preach just as good as they just preached, and I would shake my head and the altars would fill up. People weeping and crying, hands in the air, tears flowing. People being filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it wasn't just a place. It was a sacred place. It was a place that had been built by people coming time after time and saying, God, we're going to create an atmosphere that somebody's life is going to be changed. That it might not be my Sunday, but I'm going to be a part of it being somebody else's Sunday. And I'm going to help cultivate that atmosphere for change to happen. It's cultivated by people that when they walk into this place, this isn't the first time all week that they've seen an altar. They've found one in their home. They've got one built in a closet, and nobody might know about it, but there's somewhere that they've been building their altar. They've been working on getting close to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he speaks and says, I want this from you, Abraham got up. He got his only son. And he said, let's go. How could he do that? Because this wasn't the first altar that he had built in his life. He had a relationship with this God that went way beyond God just asking him to get involved for the very first time. He had been to that altar time after time after. It might not have been that altar. That was the first time he'd made this trip. But he'd built altars everywhere he lived, everywhere he went. There were altars in his life. It was easy. Well, I'm not saying it was easy, but it's why he could take the hand of his son and say, God, I trust you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going to happen. And if you do take his life, I believe that you can probably raise him back up from the dead. But I know who you are, because I've built enough altars that what you ask of me, I'm willing to do. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, God, that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, we struggle with our sacrifice because we have not yet built the altars that you so desire for us to build. God, I pray right now that you would create a hunger inside of us, oh God, that we would find a place in you. That we would find that secret place, oh God. That we wouldn't wait till the music gets just right. We wouldn't wait till the perfect sermon is preached, oh God. But Lord God, there would be something inside of us that would wake us up in the morning, God. That we would get on our knees and we would begin to build. God, I want to be close to you. God, I want to know you. God, I want something stirred up in my life. God, I want to be able to hear from you. God, I want a deeper relationship with you. God, I want to be used of you. God, I want you. Your will, and I want your way in my life. In Jesus' name. Oh. God, you've called me and you've asked me, but I'm struggling with it. So, how's your altar? God, you've called me. You keep dealing with me about it. I keep pushing it away. Why do I struggle with it? So, how's your altar? God, I've got to know you. I've got to know you. I've got to know you. There are people that are behind us that need your altar. There are people that are going to stand in this altar on Sunday that need your altar. They don't have an altar of their own, but something's being stirred up because you've been at your altar. There are going to be people over the course of the next year, they're going to walk into this place and they're not going to have a clue, but they're going to need you. And you might not ever really be a part of their world. You might not be the one that teaches the Bible study, but you can be the one to build an altar that creates an atmosphere that can produce the change that they need in their life. He's
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I don't want to have a move of God this Sunday and it be because of somebody else's altar. God, I want it to be because I've built an altar in my own life. God, I don't want to have a move of God this Sunday, oh God, and it not have anything to do with me, God. God, I can build an altar. I can get to know you, oh God. I can make time in my life to find you and to know you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. God, I've been struggling with my sacrifice. You can't put your sacrifice on an altar that's not there. God, I've been struggling with what you've called me to do. You first have to have an altar. God, that we would build an altar that our grandchildren and children could stand at. That we could build an altar, oh God, that when the death angel decides that it's somebody in our family's time, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that there's an altar that's been built, that death angel, that thing has to stay because there was something powerful that happened at that moment in time. It doesn't matter if it was 100 years ago, but there was something that happened at that moment that forever changed the atmosphere of that place because there was somebody that was willing to make the sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. We're not a one-man show. We're a family. Every single one of us. One mind and one accord. Moving in one direction. What would happen if just this group here found God between now and Sunday? Just the people in this room. We had 148 last Sunday. It just shows kind of where we're at. We got to build people more than we got to build a crowd. If just the number here, probably not even half that number here tonight, touched God between now and this Sunday, you got to a place at your altar that God could speak into your life. Can you imagine how differently you would walk through those doors when you walked in this next Sunday? If you walked in knowing that you'd already heard from God, it might not be about that service. It might not be about what was going on. But you had the confidence that you had been in the presence of an almighty, awesome God, the creator of the heavens and the universe. And you walked into this place. It would change your worship. It would change the way you listen to the word. It would change the way you walk to an altar. It would affect what was going on in your world. And when you would begin to change, it would begin to change the atmosphere around you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God's presence in this place in a deep, deep way. God's doing something. I know I keep saying that, but he's really doing something. There's there's something stirred in the spirit realm that's different than anything I've experienced since I've been here. There's something that's changing. God is doing something, and we've got to get on board. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Remember, everybody we talked about that needs prayer. I want to thank everybody for your faithful prayers, your faithful giving. That is why your faithfulness is creating, helping create the atmosphere that's been happening. But God's doing something supernatural, and he's not done yet. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Shadwell, I don't know what he was expecting when he showed up here. But when he left, he had a whole different outlook on what was happening in Moss Bluff, Louisiana. He doesn't prophesy and play games and joke. He doesn't, you know, but we sat in my house after that Sunday night service, and he sat there and he just shook his head. He said, I stood there. He stood right back there, right close to where Shane's sitting right now. And he said it hit him, and his whole body was like it caught on fire. When he said, if you will keep doing what you're doing and add to it, you will be the biggest church in this area. And I had to stop and look like, is he feeling all right? He said, it was different than anything I've experienced. He said, it was different. He sat in my living room and just shook his head. He says, it was different. It was like I was on fire when I began to speak those words. And when he began to speak it, he almost stopped himself for a second and like hesitated. And then he finished it off, because we've got to understand God wants to do something supernatural in this church. And it's going to take this group right here getting a hold of an altar and saying, God, I'm going to build it. 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 And because of the people that sit in this room right here, these people, the people that are here tonight, it's going to benefit everybody else that shows up on Sundays. It's going to benefit those kids over there that are still trying to figure out what they believe. It's going to benefit those little elementary kids that don't have a clue just yet what exactly is going on, but they're not going to be able to deny that they're in the presence of an almighty, awesome God. And it's in that atmosphere that they can be changed. It's in that atmosphere that they can be filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's in that atmosphere that they can walk up and say, I feel like I want to get baptized, and I want that in my life. Why? Because you have been at an altar that's created something that is undeniable when they step into this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives and the people of this church, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would change us into your likeness, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would search us, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would give us a burden, Lord God, that would take us to depths and places that we've never gone before in our lives. Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would build an altar in our lives, Lord Jesus, that when you ask us to do something, it's not that big of a deal, because we know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. If there's somebody that sits close to where you sit and they haven't been coming for a while, build an altar for them this week. If there's somebody that sits around you or that you're friends with and you know that they're struggling, build an altar for them this week. Touch God for them this week. In Jesus' name.